It's almost July 4th, and there's one person who's pretty darn excited about celebrating the holiday. He goes by the name Rebel Pepper, and he's kind of new to America. Rebel Pepper is the pen name of a political cartoonist from China. His cartooning got him into some trouble back home. And after a few years in limbo, he arrived in the United States in May of last year. China watcher Isaac Stonefish has been following the travails of Rebel Pepper and met up with him recently in his new home, Washington, D.C. Isaac, I know Rebel Pepper's real name is Wang Liming. How did he get the name Rebel Pepper?
He got it from a Taiwanese friend of his who said it sounded really good in English. The Chinese is 变态辣椒, which is perverse pepper. And I think he just liked the way it sounded.
And what does it mean?
It's a nice combination of a very small, insignificant item, a pepper. Someone trying to stand up to the Chinese Communist Party. In many of his cartoons, he will draw this little pepper as a stand-in for him.
Tell us what else he cartoons about. I mean, what's his kind of thing?
His thing is very much Xi Jinping. And drawing cartoons about China's leader is incredibly sensitive. The Communist Party controls the image of Xi so closely that the ability and the right to mock Xi Jinping is not something that Beijing gives to Chinese citizens. For example, right after Beijing announced that Xi would no longer be bound by term limits, Rebel had a pretty sharp take on that.
The one cartoon about Xi Jinping that I'm quite fond of, it was also well received, was the one about the crystal coffin in Tiananmen, where Mao's body is lying on display. I used a bit of drama and turned it into a double bed. In it, I drew Xi sitting on the edge of the bed and doing a facial. He's soon going to join Mao Zedong in bed. It looked hilarious.
Was Rebel Pepper in China when he drew that cartoon?
He was not. He was in the United States working for Radio Free Asia, far enough away from China that he had both the perspective and also the feeling of safety to draw something so critical.
You and I have been following Rebel Pepper's cartoons for a while now, and he's had this circuitous route to the U.S. I know you caught up with him and met him for the first time in Japan a few years ago. What was Rebel Pepper doing in Japan?
Rebel Pepper didn't really seem like he was in Japan by choice. He knew that it was getting very hot for him in China. He had spent a night in detention and really didn't want to repeat the experience. So he extended a trip to Japan. He tried to claim asylum there. Japan is a surprisingly difficult place for people to claim asylum. So when I met Rebel in 2015, he was happy with his newfound freedom, but a little bit lost. I titled the piece I wrote about him, Rebel Without a Country.
Hmm. What prompted him to leave China and go to Japan?
He realized that to be a political cartoonist and to express himself as a human being, that's not something you can do in China when you're touching politics.
What did the Chinese authorities do to make it so hard for him to cartoon?
So Rebel had roughly a million followers on Chinese social media sites. Both of those were shut down. He had a store on a big Chinese e-commerce platform that was shut down. A lot of the censorship that happens in China for artists and writers is not external censorship, it's self-censorship because you're afraid of offending the wrong people and going to prison.
So he's getting into a lot of trouble in China. Why does he make the choice to continue to cartoon, given his situation?
When I spoke to Rebel about this recently, he compared it to someone being afraid of heights going on a hike.
On one hand, I was scared. But on the other hand, I couldn't resist the impulse to express myself. For a long time, I was living in fear while feeling the urge to draw cartoons. It's just like hiking. You want to get to the top, even if you're scared of heights.
So in 2014, Rebel Pepper makes a pretty big decision. He moves to Japan. Did that location make it easier for him to cartoon?
It certainly made it a lot easier for him to cartoon because there's almost no censorship and there's a lot of demand for cartoons about China. But Tokyo is an expensive city. Rebel was very poorly compensated for the work that he did. He barely spoke Japanese. He didn't have much of a social network there. And what really impressed me about Rebel when I met him was his kindness and his optimism.
So how did he end up in the U.S.?
So he had applied for asylum in the U.S. and he got hired by Radio Free Asia and realized that this was a place that he wanted to raise his now 8-month son and a place that he wanted to develop and hopefully flourish.
What are his cartoons like now? I mean, have they changed from when he was in China and then Japan?
So they've certainly changed from the time he was in China. He has a early cartoon after Chinese Chairman Xi Jinping visited a dumpling shop. And this was a major story because it made Xi seem like a man of the people. And Rebel very subtly drew a cartoon of other breakfast foods bowing down to the dumpling as a way of satirizing Xi's newfound power. So as he left China and went to the United States, his cartoons had more visualizations of Xi, more about exactly what the party was doing as opposed to ways that could get around the censors and be shown online.
How old is Rebel?
46.
So did he come of age thinking that China was moving in a more democratic direction?
I think he did. I think most people from his generation, while they were very disappointed with the aftermath of the student protests in Tiananmen Square, did feel that under Hu Jintao, China's leader from roughly 2002 to 2012, things were opening up. And there was more of a sense of optimism in the lead up to the Beijing Olympics in 2008, the lead up to the Shanghai Expo in 2010. There was a sense that China was going to take its place among the world nations as more of a liberal, comfortable power. And people were sorely disappointed.
I know Rebel mentioned something to you about the difference between the United States and China. What did he say?
Rebel had this really nice analogy about being a domesticated pig or a wild and free one.
一直有人在饲养它，它会衣食无忧，但是它总有一天它会被杀掉，而且它是没有自由的。
Pigs think that they could live a carefree life because people feed them. But one day, they will be slaughtered. They don't have freedom. That's not the life I wanted. I wanted to run away and be a wild pig. In English, there are different words for wild and domesticated pigs, right? In China, they're pretty much the same word. If I decide to be a wild pig, I'd have to look for my own food and wander around with lots of hardships. But I would have freedom.
So is he equating being in the U.S. with being a wild pig?
He is. And I found this very heartening. I mean, we are certainly going through a crisis now in America, and it's really nice to see that people still see the United States as a beacon of freedom.
Has he moved beyond self-censorship?
He really seems to. He really seems to feel the need and the desire and the ability to express himself the way he wants to.
Isaac Stonefish is a longtime China watcher who met political cartoonist Rebel Pepper in his new home of Washington, D.C. Thanks a lot, Isaac.
Thank you, Carol.
And you can see some of Rebel Pepper's cartoons at our website, pri.org.